universities and colleges, you know, quite often have tours that they organize to go overseas. However, this is the first one I can recall specifically to visit battlefields and sites associated with war. Why a tour of that kind?
The two instructors that are conducting this and have organized this tour are history instructors. Both of us are interested in 20th century Europe. It seemed to be a topic of interest for our students as well as the community. There are tour companies that have offered that in a non-academic context, and we thought it would be very appropriate to put it into an academic context. There are a number of different ways in which we can educate our students by giving them a three-dimensional physical landscape perspective of what happened during World War I and World War II.
What are some of the places that will be covered in the tour?
We're doing both World War I and World War II, so we'll be traveling through five countries. Those five countries are France, Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany, and Austria. So we'll be able to see some of the Western Front trenches from World War I, as well as Verdun, which was one of the deadliest battles that we've had in history. We will also be covering a number of World War II sites, the D-Day battlefields in Normandy, the Battle of the Bulge, especially the forests and the foxholes. We'll also be traveling to Germany, in which we'll see Dachau, a concentration camp, Berchtesgaden, which is one of the places that Hitler had a hideaway, all with the intent that giving them that perspective is going to increase their awareness of some of the challenges, not only for the soldiers, but of the civilians around the battlefields.
What do you think a person who wants to understand those eras of history gets out of actually going to a place like that that they can't get from, you know, reading accounts of what happened in books or on film?
I think the complexity of being involved in 20th century warfare is going to be much more evident by traveling to these sites. Challenges that students may have assumed were everywhere differed in various places. When we go to Normandy, we're going to see that civilians face different challenges than when they were in Paris under occupied German rule. And for them to have a better understanding of daily life is going to be almost as much as or almost as important as having the opportunity to see the challenges that the soldiers faced. We can read about them. We can watch the popular versions of them in movies like Saving Private Ryan. But until they can see the huge craters on the D-Day battlefield, I don't know that they have quite the kind of perspective that's going to give them that aha moment.
How much distortion, if any, do you think people have of their perception of that time from seeing movies like Saving Private Ryan, for example?
I sometimes think that popular culture is overly simplified with regard to World War II, especially the black hat, white hat perspective. And not that we want to gloss over the horrors that occurred during World War I and World War II. In fact, we want to emphasize that, but we want them to understand that it's a far more complicated event than what has been portrayed in survey level textbooks and in the popular culture versions of that part of history.
What kind of simplifications are we talking about beyond the, you know, the good guy, bad guy situation?
One of the things that we're going to talk about is collaboration versus resistance. Very little, I think, comes out of pop culture with regard to collaborators. Why were they making decisions to work with the Nazi administrators? What sort of factors played into those decisions to accommodate and to acquiesce versus to resist? And I think that for our students to get a better sense of the humanness of war, we want to take them to these places and show them some of the ways in which civilians were left with little choice. On the other hand, we also don't want to dismiss the resistance effort as well. So we want to take them to other places too.
Is this tour primarily for students or is it for the wider community?
It is for students. That is our priority. However, as a community college, we want to open it up to the community as well. Our community needs to understand that it is an educational opportunity, and so our students will be staying in fairly Spartan accommodations, but they will also be able to benefit from the same things that our students benefit with regard to the sites that they visit and the reflection that we do at the end of the day, each day.
A lot of the young people who are students today at Kellogg Community College and elsewhere were born after the first Gulf War, so that's ancient history to them. And this probably is even more ancient history. Is that an issue, particularly with younger people, that it's to them so distant in the past that they say, why bother?
I think World War II resonates with people, even those that are so disconnected chronologically from that event, more so than the first Gulf War or Korea or Vietnam. They may have relatives that fought in Vietnam or fought in Korea, but World War II has some sort of an appeal that I don't think has diminished over the course of the decades since it transpired.
In my own reading, particularly about World War I, it can be difficult to understand how someone who was a private soldier would put up with what they had to then and would obey commands that almost certainly were going to lead to, you know, my death. Is that hard to convey to students?
It is. And taking them into the trenches along the Western Front, along the Battle of the Somme field, as well as Poppy's Field or Flanders Field, excuse me, helps for them to understand that that situation was unbearable and that there were going to be consequences for them disobeying orders and going over the trenches, and that the trenches themselves became so dehumanizing that in some cases our soldiers are going to follow without thinking. In other cases, they're going to mutiny. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to visit Verdun, in which we're going to see a trench called the Bayonet Trench, where the soldiers were told, if you get buried alive in your trench, stick your bayonets up, and hopefully somebody will come get you. And in this case, nobody did. And so hopefully, again, we'll get a sense of the tremendously horrible conditions that these soldiers in World War I faced. And by going and visiting these trenches, they'll have a sense not only of the closeness and the claustrophobic kind of life that these men led, but the horrors of being in this type of war of attrition.
Will you be delving into the politics of the time? For example, Winston Churchill famously said that he thought that World War I and World War II were actually just one war that lasted 30 years.
Yes, we will be doing that. It's not a history course per se. This is a travel course, and primarily our objectives in running this are cultural. Because two historians are teaching it, the emphasis will be on World War I and World War II. To do that, we do want to get that connector, and we are going to Versailles, and that will be our connecting point, will be the treaty. And so we'll take them to the Hall of Mirrors and show them the context in which the treaty was created and how that then led to disastrous consequences in Germany, and sort of try to link the two together. And I tend to agree with Mr. Churchill about the one war 30-year length.
How many people will be going approximately on the trip?
We can have anywhere from 16 to 40. Right now we have 20, so we have plenty of room. And a nice number is somewhere between 20 and 30, but we can accommodate more. We have arranged to accommodate as many as 40, and we love to have that. We have another guide with us, so we'll have two historians and a professional guide with us. So I think we'll be fine to have 40, too.
Is this the first time that this tour has been mounted by Kellogg, or has this been done before?
Kellogg's been running these tours for about 10 years. This is the second tour I've done with World War I and World War II as the focal point. It's a different tour. We've done tours, the previous tours that we've done with World War I, World War II, we went to other sites. We went to northern Germany, Berlin, and we're going to southern Germany, we're going to Munich, and we're going to Austria. We have also done tours of Central Europe in which we've included places like Auschwitz and Prague and areas which had been devastated by Nazi policy and for the length of time of the war, the entirety of the war.
I'm sure everyone has different reactions, but if you could summarize, how have the participants in previous tours reacted to the experience of being in these places?
Very positively, very emotionally, and I was surprised. The last time we ran this tour, what seemed to stay in people's minds longer was the Battle of the Bulge and the proximity of the foxholes. But certainly the concentration camps are heavy burdens for our students, even 70 years after liberation, to take back with them. And so we're very aware of that. We're very conscious of that. We want to make sure that our students are not going to do a tour in which they're going to be depressed and come back with a sense of foreboding and depression. So we try to space it out. We have a number of days that are sort of free days, and those free days are able to embrace the culture, the modern culture. So we ask them to eat at street food vendors, stands, and visit museums that are art museums and have nothing to do with World War I and World War II, because this could be a very heavy tour if we don't balance that out.
Do they ever get into discussions with, you know, the people who live in those areas? Because I would expect that if you are born and grow up, you know, next to the Normandy beaches, you have a different view of that event than someone who just comes there from overseas to see them.
Yes, and we do give them a variety of assignments, in which one of them is for them to ask questions of the native populations. We sort of prepare them to do that with appropriate protocol and etiquette. But yes, we do want them to do that. And it can vary. What do you remember about World War II? Do you know anybody who fought during World War II, depending on the age? And do you think World War II still affects your area of France or Germany? How much do you talk about World War II in your classes when you were in school? But also about the culture and the relationship between the United States and Europe. What do you think is important for Americans to know about Normandy, whether it be the D-Day battle or whether it be the region of Normandy? What do you think is important that we tell you about America and describe an American? And so some of those things are also options for our students to do, as well as the more course discipline-specific history assignments we give them.
As you mentioned, World War II seems to resonate with Americans. You know, it was the big war, the so-called good war. In the United Kingdom, however, World War I seems to loom largest because of the losses they suffered on the Western Front. And there's still a very active, you know, traffic between Great Britain and the battlefields and the cemeteries in France and Belgium to, you know, remember a great-grandfather or someone in their family who is buried there. Do you ever encounter those people, and what kind of conversations ensue if you do?
Absolutely. One of the questions that I pose is the idea of commemoration and memorials, and not just preserving and maintaining memorials and preserving the past, but also how the past is remembered by the people who either previous generations had experienced or they themselves had experienced. And I do bring up that anomaly, that something that's so important to the American past and American identity in World War II has very little compared to World War I. And while we won't be visiting England on this trip, I use that as an example. Every town has a memorial in the center of town in England. But I do bring up Paris. There's very little in Paris that commemorates World War II. And I ask them to think about why that would be. I also ask them to look around on the D-Day beaches and tell me where these tourists are coming from. Are they coming from France? Are they coming from the United States, the United Kingdom? Are they coming from Germany? Look at the cemeteries. How are the cemeteries maintained in all of the cemeteries in Normandy? Who are the visitors to Dachau? Who are the visitors to the Battle of the Bulge? How do different countries commemorate those victims of war? And at a deeper level, I want them to think about that. And they do. They find that World War I seems to have more staying power than World War II. Which to me seems incongruous until you start looking at the complexities of World War I and how it did in fact lead to World War II.
Is that because, you know, battle for battle, so many more people died in World War I than World War II, at least on the Western Front?
Perhaps, and I think specifically the British are very much aware of that. Again, the Battle of the Somme tour that we take is going to be primarily, we're going to encounter English tourists, and our guide is going to be British, and those who are most knowledgeable about the Western Front trenches are going to be those who are British, I think with them in particular. And I think part of it is that. I also think that the complexities of World War II and being occupied to that extent and having the presence of the SS has been somewhat buried. In the last 10, 15 years, more historians and more documents are coming out to talk about, again, collaborators and people who were silent collaborators in that they didn't oppose what was going on. And that's a difficult thing. World War II, black and white, let's keep it that way. I think that's a big piece of why Europe has focused on World War I. It has a distance and it has greater consequences for them in that it led to this even more devastating event.
Although you're not going to that area in this tour, in more recent decades in the West, it has been, at least among historians, widely acknowledged that World War II was won in Russia, not in France and Italy and North Africa. Is that something that's going to come up during the tour?
It probably will not. I would like to go to Russia. There's very little in Russia for us to take students. That would be logical, logistically possible, that has been commemorated in many cases because so much was destroyed. There's not much to maintain. In other cases, because of the post-World War II government in Eastern Europe and in Russia, the Great War for the Russians has only been commemorated in that context. And so there is a little bit of a distance now being put between Stalin years and post-communism. I would like to take a group of students to Russia. However, with this trip, because we aren't going to Russia, there'll be very little that will be discussed about the Eastern Front in World War II. So nothing about Stalingrad or Leningrad.